call the meeting to order. Can we do a roll call, please?
Chair Page.
Here.
Regent Carter.
Here.
Regent Carvalho.
Here.
Regent Del Carlo.
Here.
Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Trecha.
Here.
You have a quorum present. For the advisory members, Dr. Acharya. Ms. Helens. Dr. Hilgersum. Dr. Johnson. Dr. Miana.
Here.
Mr. Patterson.
Here.
Dr. Solis.
Present.
Dr. Zaragoza. Dr. Bell.
Here.
Dr. Keen Zebert.
Here.
Mr. Klieb.
Here.
Dr. Baliff. Ms. Glynn.
Here.
Ms. Flesher.
Here.
Dr. McKay.
Here.
Dr. Frost.
Here.
Dr. Morin.
Present.
Mr. Gutierrez. Ms. Dodson. Ms. Opfer.
Present.
Ms. Patrie.
Here.
Ms. Patanon.
Here.
Ms. Molina. Mr. Martinez.
Present.
Ms. Gwynn.
Oh, present.
Mr. Miller.
Oh.
Present.
Ms. Abba.
Voice crack.
Here.
Ms. Olson.
Here.
Mr. Desmond. Mr. Gallagher.
Here.
Ms. King. Ms. Mojica.
Present.
Dr. Prabhu. Ms. Seawald. Ms. Silver.
Here.
Mr. Williams. Mr. Wixom. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Before we go to public comment, a couple of housekeeping items. For the up north, TMCC microphones are live all the time, so you need to push them to mute them. And then when we, please, if we call on someone, if you could please identify yourself each time you speak, and please make sure that you take your binders with you. And then before we go to public comment, just want to introduce the search consultants. We have Jay Lemons and Bill Howard of Academic Search. So with that, we will go to public comment starting in Elko.
No public comment from Elko.
Thank you. Reno.
No public comment in Reno, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And public comment in Las Vegas. Okay, seeing none, we will close public comment. We go to agenda item number two, Chair's Report and Introductions. And so if we can maybe start with Mary Beth with the introductions and then go to Bart and come back this way.
Thank you, sir. My name is Mary Beth Seawald. I'm the President and CEO of the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce.
Bart Patterson, President at Nevada State College.
Hannah Patnod, CSUN Student Body President for the UNLV Undergraduates.
Marta Miana, President of UNLV. Janice McKay, Chair of the UNLV Faculty Senate.
Good morning, Yolanda King, Clark County County Manager.
Mark Johnson, President, University of Nevada, Reno.
Leslie Mojica, Executive Director, Las Vegas Power Professionals, and a member of the alumni UNLV.
Arnold Bell, Faculty Senate Chair for the College of Southern Nevada.
Kamut Acharya, President, Desert Research Institute.
Bill Howard, Vice President, Senior Consultant with Academic Search.
Jay Lemons, President of Academic Search and Senior Consultant as well.
Donald McMichael, Regent.
Amy Carvalho, Board of Regents.
Rick.
Dean Gould, I'm the Chief of Staff and Counsel to the Board of Regents.
Kevin Page.
Tom Riley, Chancellor.
Harold Del Carlo, Regent, District 9.
Patrick Carter, Regent.
Mark DeBrava, Vice Chairman of the Board.
Federico Zaragoza, President, College, Southern Nevada.
Michael Wixom, Community Member.
And then if we go up to Reno.
Back a minute, meeting.
Jason Geddes, board chair.
Benjamin Miller, student, body president of Western Nevada College, comedian.
Amanda Keene-Zebert, chair of the DRI Faculty Senate.
Sherry Olson, director of NC System Administration Human Resources.
Bob Moore, political science professor and chair of the faculty at Western Nevada College.
Crystal Abba, vice chancellor for academic and student affairs with the system office.
Brian Frost, faculty senate chair, University of Nevada, Reno, and chair of the council of chairs.
Tamara Gwynn, president of the Graduate Student Association at University of Nevada, Reno.
Vince Solis, president at Western Nevada College.
Alexandra Patry, student government association president.
Ann Fletcher, faculty senate chair at Truckee Meadows Community College.
Bridget Glenn, NG faculty senate chair.
Ann Silver, CEO, Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce.
Anthony Martinez, ASU and president of the undergraduates at the University of Nevada, Reno.
Nicole Opfer, Nevada State Student Alliance president.
Tom Gallagher, chair of the Kenny Gwynn Center for Policy Partnerships and vice chair of the DRI Foundation.
Okay, great. And then if we can go to Elko.
George Klebb, faculty senate chair, Great Basin College.
Okay, thank you so much. With that, we will, and also on the phone is Regent Lieberman. Got item number three, Nevada open meeting law. Mr. Gould.
All right, good morning. I apologize in advance for those of you who know all of this already, but in case you don't, and this is your first time working on a board committee, I need to go through a few comments relating to Nevada's open meeting law. Open meeting law is intended to make the government's work transparent. And it requires that all deliberations by a public body, in this case the Board of Regents and the advisory members, because you are considered a subcommittee of the committee of the search here, that all deliberations should occur in a public agendized meeting. So as a result of that, I would strongly recommend that there be no discussions outside of these public meetings, if you can avoid it. Technically, while we are what's called a quorum state, so you need a quorum of the body, in this case, in a committee, it'd be four regents. Even though the advisory members don't vote, we still view it this way for open meeting law purposes. You technically need a quorum in order for there to be a violation. However, the Supreme Court has created the concept of what we call a walking quorum or serial communication, where you have someone talks to someone who talks to someone who talks to someone, and eventually you may reach a quorum, and at that point you would have a violation. So the best defense here is to just not discuss these items other than in the public meeting setting. I'm trying to keep this short. The other part of it is we have to agendize what we're going to talk about. We're not permitted to go off topic, so to speak. So if the conversation starts to drift beyond the topics that are listed in the published agenda, then I will have to jump in and hopefully respectfully ask you to stop. It's not personal. The regents know I do this when I need to do it. And 99% of the time, the regents will listen to me. So I would appreciate that because we don't want a violation. We take the open meeting law compliance very seriously here, and we are constantly striving to do that. In this instance, if there was to be a problem, it could actually, if someone filed a complaint, it could void the search, could affect the action that's taken here. The other thing I want to point out to you with respect to open meeting law is under the open meeting law, we have to, by law, post the names and the background information of any finalist, and I'll talk about what that means in a minute, on the agenda of the meeting where the interviews take place. That is so that the world knows who is being considered as finalists. That is a double-edged sword, and for those of you who have served on these search committees before, you understand exactly what I'm saying. There are candidates who, no matter how many times they're told that their names will go public at the end, if they are a finalist, we get people at the end who say, I can't do it.
either because they are concerned about their current position, whatever the reason, and they withdraw. We can't do anything about it. We can't make exceptions. It is what it is. But I will tell you that we do structure our searches to both comply with the open meeting law fully and at the same time to try to keep the identities of the candidates confidential, even from all of you, including the regents, until we get to those finalists. Okay, so you're not treated any differently than the regents. And there's a reason for that. It's not because we're trying to be secretive. It's because the sooner that those names get, we just wouldn't have applicants. They wouldn't apply. And so please understand that that is our purpose. And so up until the point that the finalist names are posted in the agenda of the final meeting, the next meeting, hopefully, everything is done internally between, in this case, the committee chair, working with the chancellor, myself, and the search consultants, and nothing else. No regent will know, no advisory member will know who we're talking to. It's all confidential, and we can do that because it's not being disseminated to the members of the board or the members of the committee or the advisory members until the end. Does anyone have any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gould.
Okay, so again, I'm going to try and make this brief. These searches are covered under our code, the Regents Handbook, in Title II, Chapter 1, Section 1.5.3. And you can look that up if you want to make a note of the section 1.5.3. It's online, but it basically lays out how the search is performed. And I alluded to it a few minutes ago with regard to the open meeting law, but essentially the people on the committee that are sitting here today, both the regents and the advisory members, were selected by the board chair in consultation with the committee chair and the chancellor. And, you know, it's a very important role. Notwithstanding the fact that it's not technically a voting role, you will see both today and certainly when we do the interviews, your input is not only sought after, but very important. And I've sat through many of these searches, and I can tell you uncategorically that the opinions of the advisory members matter. So it's important that you speak up, that you let your opinion be known. If you ever have any questions about the process, about what you can do, can't do, you're always free to email me, and I will get back to you and try to answer your question. And if I can't, I'll get you to somebody who can. Okay, the way the process works is after today you're going to review and comment on what's called the leadership profile. That draft document was attached to the agenda. You should all have it. That was prepared by the search consultants at Academic Search with input from Chancellor Riley and the cabinet, because he felt, and I agree with him, and Regent Page felt that it's important that the current chancellor have input on what the role is, because I think he knows it better than anybody. So they have been working with him, have put together what we put out. The point today is you're going to have input, and we will take notes on your input. And then once that is finalized, after today, the goal would be to have the committee chair working with the chancellor and the search consultants take all your comments into mind, come up with a final one. That'll be published, and they'll talk about where they would suggest that gets posted and published. And then it starts, the process starts. And from that point forward, it's really in the search consultants arena more than ours directly. And then once they have narrowed the field to semifinalists, that's when there will be interviews, probably Skype-type interviews, not in person generally, in order to narrow that field to the finalists. It's the finalists that will come back to you in, we're hoping, April. Mid-April would be our goal, but you never know. And that's where we have the open interviews. So that's the process. Any questions on that? Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Again, good morning, one and all. This is a rich opportunity for us to be here, and we will not be able to do our work well in representing and serving as your agent without hearing many of your voices. And so whether you are in Elko, in Reno, or here in this room, we look forward to listening very carefully. I would note, as I know Bill would pick up if I didn't, that you may not see every comment that is made reflected in the final document, but know that the richness of your voices will remain with us. We will keep these notes, and very often I find that it is what doesn't necessarily always make the leadership profile stays with us. And it's important context, it's important flavor, and so the importance of this morning is really the opportunity for us to do more listening than anything. As was already noted and outlined, you have a draft. I often like to say at Academic Search, we have a great tradition of bad first drafts. We hope it's better than a bad first draft. But the invitation is really meant to suggest, help us to know what we got right, what we didn't get right, where there needs to be more flavor and emphasis at various points. I think those are my initial comments. Bill, anything you want to add?
Yes, thank you. I'll just echo what Jay said, is that we try and get the document, after hearing from you, as improved as possible, but as you know, the document isn't what you're really interested in. It's the candidates who you want to see ultimately. So we incorporate and use all the feedback we get during our conversations with the potential candidates, with people who may make nominations or references. So hearing from you today is very important to us in those conversations. As well as in finalizing the document that we'll use to do the recruiting. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on agenda item number four? Five. No, we're on four. Yeah, we're on four. We're going to go to five now. With that, we'll go to agenda item number five, Chancellor Leadership Profile and Related Materials. Back to Jay and Bill.
We welcome hearing from you in whatever fashion may make the most sense. This is a large group of people, and I know the richness is in hearing from you. And Kevin, I presume that you may have a better sense of how you want to guide that discussion. If not, we're prepared to dive in and go for it. But I
just, if you want to run with it, and we'll call on them, and then we'll go from there.
Really, so, the comments that I made a moment ago were really meant as a setup, and so we're ready to receive commentary. And so whether it, yes.
Yeah, so Dean has a good point. So I think maybe we'll start here with the advisory members, then go to Elko and then Reno, probably the best. So,
and come back for the regents.
Exactly.
Excellent.
So if we want to start...
And Mr. Chair, I'll just say, as Jay was saying, we're happy to receive comments in any form. If someone has a minor wording comment, you know, we'll welcome that and interlineate it. Or if you have substantive, you know, comments, particularly in terms of the leadership agenda, the key characteristics, more theoretical, we'll get that into wording in the final document as well.
Okay. Yeah, keep in mind when we're all done, if you think of anything after, you could always email the consultants as well. So why don't we just start with President Z?
Thanks,
So my observations, again, I want to commend you for the work that's been done. I think it clearly reflects the framework for the Move Forward search. I'm encouraged by the focus and diversity. I think that's important. I'm very supportive of the leadership provisions that were included in the document as well. If there was an area that I think is equally important is the whole business and industry and workforce component for me is important as a community college. And it's an area that I would like to see embellished a little bit more in terms of that profile moving forward.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wixom.
I found from the time I was on the board in the chancellor's position is they have tremendous administrative responsibilities. It's an enormous system. Relatively speaking, if you look across the country, I don't know that there's a system as large as a system with as many employees and as many institutions because of the unique structure in Nevada. And so whomever will be in the chancellor's position will have to have strong administrative skills just because of the nature of the system, the number of employees, the number of students, the number of campuses, the diverse nature of the campuses, the diverse roles of the campuses will require skills both in terms of collaboration, but also tremendous administrative skills. And so I think it's more than just leadership. They'll have to have deep administrative background.
Excellent. Thank you.
President Patterson.
So I think the profile is quite thorough. So thank you for that work. You know, as I've looked at the system over the years, and this sort of flows a little bit from Mr. Wixom's comments, the other piece of this job that I think often gets overlooked is the fact that you're also managing a fairly large operation internally. And so those management skills and supervisory skills are quite important because it's the size of personnel and budget that's equivalent to some of our campuses. So I would potentially suggest that could be fleshed out a bit more. And truthfully, I've often wondered whether the job, because of the number of even direct reports, is just one person, the way it's currently structured, or whether there ought to be some consideration on how that structure works so that there's less of responsibility or time demands on just one person in that role.
Thank you. Hannah, one of my favorite names.
Oh, thank you. I think this is a great document. It's definitely very holistic and covers a lot of the key points that I personally would think of when I think of what the chancellor's role would be. And the only point that I wanted to just mention is how important it's been when Chancellor Riley comes to student government meetings, when he meets with me directly, meets with my chief of staff, meets with my executive board, and the conversations that are had in those meetings have been some of the most integral to us moving forward as our own organization. I know that it's mentioned briefly on page 7, that second bullet point, it does touch on student leadership from the institutions, but I think that that could be something that's definitely emphasized because at the end of the day, the entire INSHE system is for education and education is for students, and students are the whole purpose of any of us being here right now. So I think that that would be really great to really emphasize in this search, whether it's in this document or not, just keeping that in mind that what Chancellor Riley has been able to keep in contact with us has been really important. I remember him from my very first term as a senator, not even since just becoming president. It's been a very common theme for a long time, and I'd really like to see that continue.
Thank you. If I might ask a clarifying question. That's a great example. Many systems across the country, there's very little interaction. So kudos to you. I guess in some ways, Tom, you may or may not be the best source. Perhaps the longer serving regents would be. Is this a Tom Riley characteristic, or is this something that has been embedded in the culture of the system that the chancellor will have interaction with students on system campuses?
I know, Stephanie, you came in late, so we're going through the leadership profile. just making observations around that, things that we want that maybe is not in there. And if you don't have any, that's okay as well.
I could just follow up. Just so there is a structure when I came on board where there were regular meetings with faculty senate and with student leaders. So that's kind of built in a process. And I would say an expectation of the chancellor to meet. Through a lot of those dialogues and input we've had from students and faculty were to go out more to the campuses. So I think from that structure that we've had that allows for interaction with the elected student leaders and the elected faculty leaders were invites to go actually go out on campus. So I think it was expanded a bit more by meeting with each of the faculty groups and the student groups on an ongoing basis.
Great. Well, as Hannah says, it's a way of remembering what we're here for. So thank you.
Okay. President Miana?
So this is an incredibly important position to all of the presidents, and it's a very complex one because the chancellor really has a lot of constituents, if I can use that word loosely. I guess for me, this is fine. I think one of the most difficult aspects of this position, and yet one of the most important ones to keep right, is to balance the needs of the system with the needs of the institutions. Sometimes what feels like it's great for the system may not be great for a particular or more than one institution. And that's one of the most complex aspects of this position, but one of the most important ones to get right. So if there's some way of integrating that in that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Janice McKay, UNLV Faculty Senate. I like very much the description that you have here. I would say it's going to be critically important, especially in the next few years, that whoever we get as chancellor be somebody who can work extremely well with the legislature. And it's going to have to be somebody that can be very, very savvy and politically savvy in how, because we don't know how AJR 5 is going to end up affecting things. If the voters put it in, one big concern that a lot of the faculty have is that then the legislature might just come in and sort of willy-nilly put in some sort of process that makes things more bureaucratic and more complicated, and that is the last thing that we want. We have a Board of Regents that's functioning pretty well, and we would like to at least either maintain that or improve upon that. So with the chancellor, a new chancellor coming in, I think it's going to be important for them to have some sort of vision or idea that if that passes, let's look to places that have already, you know, created successful combinations of elected or however it turns out, and not leave it to the legislature, but really partner with them and get ahead of that. I think that's going to be very important. And I would also say that I appreciate the chancellor's regular meetings with the faculty senate chairs. We have a regularly scheduled meeting with him, but he also has set up other meetings anytime there's been something he wanted our input on, and that's been very valuable. So thank you.
Thank you.
Rolando?
So I think it is definitely important to have an individual who is has very strong management skills, diverse management skills, and adaptive, simply because, I mean, I'm from an organization that also manages close to 10,000 employees, but they're pretty much confined to Southern Nevada, and I think the chancellor having to manage individuals across the state of Nevada will need someone who has very strong management skills to do that. The management skills that that individual probably should possess should be adaptive in nature just because of the diverse needs throughout the system. No one system is the same, and depending on if you're in the rural or the urban area and what that system looks like, that person will have to be able to be adaptive to the needs of those particular areas. And so that will require someone to understand and be adaptive to what those needs are within the system. And then lastly, the collaboration with community leaders at the state level as well as at the local level is also important, in my opinion, for to have in the next chancellor.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Mark Johnson, University of Nevada, Reno. I'd like to first of all say you've selected a good firm. We worked with Jay and his firm in the selection of the Northwest Commission president, and I found them to be exactly what Jay said. They listen well. They select candidates that are reflective of the job description, and they bring good candidates. On the expectations in this document, I think the document's done well. I want to emphasize a couple of things and raise one question. First of all, I think the expectation of progressive senior level leader, administrative and academic experience in higher education is essential. It is a large and complex organization and spans a great many types of institutions, and therefore experience in this industry is extremely important. Sensitivity and commitment to distinctive missions, to really be able to understand what missions are in higher education institutions and to be able to distinguish missions between institutions is very, very important, and to hang on to mission differentiation. Shared governance is a fundamental value, so that needs to be emphasized. Someone really believes in listening to faculty, students, staff in the process of carrying out daily operations. And then the last one I want to emphasize is the importance of an earned doctorate or a terminal degree to maintain respect throughout the system. It's very useful that people have the highest level degrees and experience in using those highest level degrees really exuding the knowledge of what it is to have highly professional people here. The one question I would have is whether or not the under the expectations, that very last phrase, that the degree must be from a college or university recognized as equal in rank to those having membership in the AAU, Association of American Universities. There are only a few Association of American Universities, and I wouldn't want that to require that or leave the impression that if you didn't get your degree from Harvard, then you're not eligible, because there are many really fine universities that are not AAU members, and I think Marta and I are a couple of those.
Chief of Staff Gould.
President Johnson, this is a little bit of a quagmire, because that requirement is in NRS 396. So I'm not quite sure, you know, honestly, I don't think anyone really focuses on it, but it's there. I think that's the organization that's named in there. And as you know, the role of the chancellor is a creation of statute. So I think we would have to explore that if somebody wasn't from that kind of an institution.
To put it in context, if I might, there are, I think, now 63 AAU institutions in the country. So you are narrowing the scope. So from a search standpoint, President Johnson's exactly right. We would like to have this be as wide open as we can. So there's this, you know, need to reconcile the work that we do to be in compliance with the regulatory language. But it does make it a bit more of a challenge.
And Mr. Chair and Dean, I hope I'm not overstepping, but my past training was as a lawyer, and so I both read and interpret language very carefully. And my understanding is the statute says it has to be equal in rank to having those, so that there's some room for interpretation. And certainly the APLU, which is a much broader group of public and land-grant universities, might have, you know, a much wider membership and ability to recruit candidates from those institutions. And so that will be, I guess, subject to the board's ultimate determination, but I think we're not restricting ourselves only to the current or past members of AAU.
And if I could add, Mr. Chair, thank you, Bill. That's what I was trying to get at when I said we would have to look at that depending on who was brought in, because it is, I don't want to say it's a subjective decision, because I think there is objectivity here, but we may have to look at a person's background, education background, to see if it can at least be justified under the language of NRS 396. But he's absolutely right. That's what the statute says.
It is curious that it's only preferred that they come from an accredited institution and required that it be an AAU. Would almost be the reverse of that, would be more what you would expect.
Thank you. Leslie?
Good morning, Leslie Mujica, alumni legacy, UNLV legacy board member. All these points are very, very important. But one thing I'm focusing on is page 7, and I really appreciate the use of the promoting, advocating, and championing. I think that we really need to promote all the good work that we do, all the wonderful things our universities are doing, and elevate our system of higher education. I'm in the community a lot, professionally, personally, and representing UNLV, and I really do think we need to talk about the great things that we're accomplishing.
Thank you.
Dr. Bell, there are a few things that I have that a lot of the sentiments that my colleagues have said up to this point regarding diversity and shared governance is very important. But I think that it's very critical that we take it a step even further when it comes to diversity. When it comes to diversity, sorry about that. So one of the things that I'm looking at here is that if you look at our system here, when it pertains, let's just say, to our faculty, staff, and administration, diversity is lacking big time. I think that it's imperative that we have a chancellor that's going to be an advocate or a champion to improve the numbers regarding faculty and administration when it pertains to diversity, because as CSCN being a Hispanic-serving institution as well as a minority-serving institution, I think we can do a better job in actively identifying, recruiting, and even promoting people of color, no matter if it's from an administrative perspective or that to the faculty perspective. So in regards to shared governance, I think it's very critical that we understand that faculty input is very valuable, and I think from Chancellor Riley as well as Dr. Zaragoza, have embraced that, but we have to take that a step further too as well to make sure it's actually being done, because at times at our institution there has been a lack of input on decisions that have been made. So I think that if we have a chancellor who is actually going to be a champion for shared governance, a champion for diversity, where he or she will take it a step further in regards to diversity to make it a mandate that every NCE employee be required to take some type of cultural competency training. There are a multitude of issues that are happening with our institutions that concerns me deeply when it comes to the collegiality, where sometimes there's an uncivilized behavior of some of our colleagues. So I think if you have a chancellor who's very high on diversity as well as high on shared governance, I think that'd be one of the components that I would like to see. But this is a great job description, and thank you very much.
Kumud Acharya, DRI. This is a good document. I like it. I also agree with most of the comments that's been made so far. There are two things, though, however, I wanted to make, and I wanted to actually echo what President Patterson said. Looks like right now the chancellor has way too many things, the responsibility-wise, too much on the plate. I wonder whether this position can be made a little bit more refined, and some of the duties may be given out to vice chancellors and others. So that's one thing. The other thing I was wondering, I know this is a nationwide search, but at the same time, I also feel like this person should have a good understanding of Nevada, our culture, our values, our challenges, and our politics. So I wonder whether how that's going to be handled, or I mean, when we're looking for somebody. Just two comments. Thanks.
Go to Elko.
Thank you. I do have a couple of questions, and basically these are just very similar to what we've already heard.
Can you just identify yourself, because we can't
put a record. I'm sorry. This is George Kleb, Faculty Senate Chair, Great Basin College. Okay, if we could just quickly go to page 8, there are a couple of things under bullet number 7, where it talks about vision and success with strategic planning design initiatives. I would like to suggest that we add online delivery. Across the nation, online education is expanding and growing. I think the person that we would look for needs to be able to understand the challenges and the opportunities that this would provide the Nevada system of higher education. Under the last item, or next to last item, item 13, bullet point, where it talks about visible, that statement, if I was a candidate, I think we could explain that a little bit better, where we would actually be able to get the person to come prepared for those questions. It seems a little vague to me. Lastly, I would like to echo Janice's comment about Chancellor Riley. While I understand that within the system, they've always met with faculty senate chairs, Chancellor Riley has truly listened to us. Even though we may not have always agreed, we at least felt like we were heard. The person that is hired should have that trait also.
Thank you. Before we go to Reno, we're going to go to Mary Beth, take a quick 5-minute break, and then when we come back, we'll go to Reno.
Thank you very much. I agree, and my apologies, I had to step out for just a few minutes, so I don't want to be repetitive, but I think it's incredibly important that the chancellor, the next chancellor, understands and has, like Chancellor Riley, has a clear understanding of the workforce and business needs of the community, and is a champion for workforce development. That's one of the top things that we hear from our members, is that they need a talent pipeline, and I think it's critical that our business community has a direct link to the education system.
Thank you. With that, we're going to come back. Recess, come back at 9:47. Call the meeting back to order, and we will go to Reno. If you could please identify yourself as you speak.
Yeah, hi, Nicola Offord, Nevada State College. So there's just like a couple things that I'd like to reiterate. So definitely something that Ms. Patanong was saying, that the students are important here. That's the whole reason kind of why we have this. So I really would like to see a little bit more of like working with NSA and working with the students, because I think it's a really important role. Regardless of if Tom Riley set the kind of tone, I still think it's really great that he speaks with us constantly. He served as like an advisor, especially for me as like being the NSA chair for the first year. He's been really supportive. And I think that's a very important role. And then just to kind of reiterate what Dr. Bell was saying as well, I think diversity is really important. And we have a really diverse state in general. So having someone who's able to sort of champion that and represent the diverse students that we have in Nevada, I think that's a very important aspect to kind of focus on as well. So thank you.
Anthony Martinez, ASUN University of Nevada, Reno, undergraduate student body president. I would just also like to emphasize both of those two things, especially when it comes to students. Again, I think Chair Riley does serve as a great resource for us. A lot of my officers also reach out to him. My vice president, Nicole Flangus, really loves engaging in dialogue with him and finds him as a very useful resource in guiding us in future projects at the university, and just giving us pointers of like what we should be looking forward to, what we should be planning in the future. So I think that relationship is vital. And then when it comes to diversity, inclusion, equity, I also think that's important. I know in the demographics it stated the two universities that are rising Hispanic-serving institutions and then three universities that are minority-serving institutions. And then when I looked through the expectations and leadership along with the duties and responsibilities, I saw like two areas where they mentioned diversity, and it was like one was like improved economic diversity, and then another one was on the 8th page, and it is the 5th bullet point, student student-first focus and appreciation for students with diverse backgrounds and goals, and that's all I saw there. So I would just like to see an emphasis with that, especially since these numbers will continue to grow with our 107,000 students. So I would just hope to keep that in mind in this search.
Pam Silver, Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to echo my colleague's statement, Mary Beth Seawald, that the connection with workforce development and securing students ready to fill the incredible needs we have here in Northern Nevada, throughout the state actually, is paramount. And also on page 7, it's a small point, but under bullet 3, when it states leading the central office staff, I think it might be helpful to point out where the central office staff is located, or if it's in both Reno and Las Vegas, and to that point, mention the need for extensive travel. Thank you.
Bridget Glenn, NSH Faculty Senate Chair. I appreciate this document. I think it's a very thorough description. I'd just like to emphasize that it is a very collaborative role and mirror President Miena's statement that it requires a lot of collaboration between balancing the needs of the system with those of the institutions. It's going to require an individual that is able to foster community relationships as well as foster relationships within the legislature. Thank you.
Ann Fletcher, Truckee Meadows Community College Faculty Senate Chair. I just want to echo some of the other comments that the chancellor sets the tone and the culture for ENSHE, and I think that's important. So it's sort of repeating what others have said, and I want to echo Mark Johnson's comments that shared governance is fundamental to this role, and also echo some of the other comments of the needs to balance the individual institutions as well as being a strong voice for ENSHE as a whole. And then there's one other area in this document that I want to make a suggestion under the, I think it's bullet point, you can look on page 7, it's either the 6th bullet point down or the 8th bullet point under duties and responsibility under advocating for higher education with the governor's office, Nevada legislature, and the Nevada congressional delegation. And then I would like to see under the what the chancellor must demonstrate under page 8, somewhere in there, because I really like these attributes. I think these really encompass a lot of what we, you know, what we'd like to see out of a chancellor. But I think it's down about the 4th bullet point down. I would like to see something maybe a little bit stronger instead of just business sense that kind of connects to that duties and responsibilities of being an advocate. So if we could sort of strengthen that language to demonstrating sort of success in advocating or something like that. And that sort of piggybacks on Janice Stig's statement that in light of the last legislature, if we can strengthen that attribute, I think that would be beneficial. And then I would also like to second Janice and George's comments, my colleagues, that Chancellor Riley has truly listened to the Faculty Senate chairs, and we, of course, represent our constituents, and we really feel like we've had a voice, and so I just want to second that. So that's all my comments.
Hi, this is Alexandra Patry with the Student Government Association at TMCC. I think a very important question to ask is how accessible will the new chancellor make themselves to the students? Will they take time to create an outreach form, maybe a question and answer session held for 30 minutes per month on the direction of Nevada School of Higher Education? Students want the ability to interact within the scope of those decisions makers who have a direct impact on their academic future. And what new and or creative outreach ideas will the chancellor initiate to reach the new and future students of my generation like myself? Because the key is new and creative, and if that could be emphasized, I think that would mean a lot to students.
Good morning, this is Vince Elise at Western. I have a few items that will echo some of the comments that have been made from my colleagues and the folks on the committee. I thought the job description was extremely well written. I think there are some areas that we could strengthen. In particular, I would like to see the same kind of advocacy as the president on campus from the chancellor that we've had from Chancellor Riley, not only for his openness, he's, you know, we'd like to see a chancellor who's a phone call or text message away as we have now. I think that's an important piece to it, but I think also an advocate for our faculty is important. I think someone who understands academia from the ground up in every sense, in the truest sense of its form, a champion for our faculty and our students and our staff is very important right now. The chancellor has a kind of relationship where folks can connect to him personally. I think that's important that continues. I think the next chancellor also needs to understand the broad difference in the universities and colleges that make up the NC system, along with some of the rural missions that we have throughout the state, because we have a very diverse large cities all the way to very small institutions that serve the rural aspects of our state. I think we should strengthen the language on the needs for the legislative savviness of the new chancellor. I think that's going to be an extremely important piece to this. You know, a lot of pieces moving with the AJR5. So I think that the next chancellor has to have an extreme sense of that savviness to being a understanding the legislative process. I think he or she also needs to understand how to be a very positive agent of change. We have new presidents and new presidents coming on board. The system is in a place of dynamic change, not only with the possibility of AJR5, but just with new leadership throughout the system. So having someone who understands how to manage change across the system will be important. I think also the rapid changes in the demographics, not only in the southern part of the state as the growth is happening very rapidly, but also here. I speak for Western, and Western, we're already at 34% minority students. So understanding that whole component is important to us. Someone who can also advance the NC goals of student success and accessibility. I think also some of the comments that were made about understanding workforce. Nevada is in a very unique position as one of the states that could be impacted the most in its service sector by automation. So someone who understands workforce needs, business needs, those will be extremely critical. And having someone who's an ambassador for the system will also be important to this position. And I think the other component is someone who understands K-12 as well. I know that we're asking for someone who's going to wear the red boots and the cape for this position, but this individual needs to understand the dynamic changes that are happening in dual enrollment and how that relationship in K-12 is substantial to the role as an ambassador. Also, shared governance, the participatory component of the chancellor's role will be extremely important to this position. And I think the last thing that I'd like to echo is also the someone who understands the structure of the team that is in place at the system office. It's in two different places. So I think the idea of traveling back and forth, whoever that person is going to be, needs to understand that they're going to have to be present and engaged in a wide variety of activities with the system, but also with the system office that sits in two different places. Thank you.
Tamara Gwynn from University of Nevada, Reno Graduate Student Association. I really do appreciate the thoroughness and the thoughtfulness that went into this document, but one area that I would like candidates to have a particular emphasis in is understanding that higher education in this state is an investment in our state. It's an investment in our students, and that needs to be taken seriously, and that really needs to be a strong background that the candidate is willing to bring forward, because you know, we're going into legislative sessions, and I know there's a lot of budgetary issues that need to be addressed by this person, so I think that needs to be really highlighted. Another area is understanding the demographics of the state of Nevada. We all have very different demographics within our institutions and the state itself, so having that connection between K-12 and all the higher education institutions is really important. I also wanted to echo the importance of online education and the national reach or potentially even global reach that our institutions could have. That is also important. And then just the accessibility of all of our institutions to students within. So that's all I have.
Brian Frost, Faculty Senate Chair, University of Nevada, Reno. I have a couple of comments. First, I'd like to reiterate President Johnson's comments about, you know, I have some concerns about requiring this AAU membership or degree, although it looks like there's maybe some wiggle language in there that would allow that to be something, an equivalent degree. Some qualities that I think would be important in the chancellor, I think they need to have an understanding of the academic environment and what the various types of academic institutions we have across our state. Institutions need to have some autonomy, right? We're not all the same. We have different institutions with different missions and different goals. I think we've heard a number of people mention shared governance, and that's kind of a place I think this document could be improved a little bit. I think the chancellor needs to not only value shared governance, but really needs to value shared governance, needs to have a strong support of shared governance. And this really helps to make an inclusive environment if we have good communication between faculty, staff, students, administrators. When we're rolling out new policies and things, institutions need to be involved in these decisions, and the chancellor is really kind of the point person for that. And having a chancellor that can come and talk to all the constituencies, as we've heard a number of people mention, I think is really critical, and having good communication skills in that way. And the willingness to reach out is really important. So thank you.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Crystal Abba, the Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs. I will emphasize points that I think are particularly important to the system office, as seen through my role and experience as the Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs. In addition, the provisions on page 8 of the leadership profile, I think it's important that they be interpreted very broadly so that we don't preclude individuals. Restating what the president of DRI stated, I can't express sufficiently how important it is to have an understanding of Nevada, particularly that of rural Nevada, the social service challenges that are faced in Nevada, and the extent to which higher ed is always asked to fill roles that sometimes are outside of what we were traditionally envisioned for. In addition, I think the candidate has to have a strong understanding of the North and the South, and sometimes the perceived political split between the North and the South. It needs to be an individual who has experience leading complex organizations through change. It's been stated before, but I think that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an institution of higher education or within that realm, but there are many organizations that have examples of going through turbulent periods of extreme change, and I think that's on the horizon for us, whether it is the approval of AJR5 or whether it's another recession. It has to be an individual who can be adaptive and have adaptive leadership skills that can help lead the organization through change. Echoing the comments of President Solis, the K-12 connection is absolutely critical. We're moving into an era where we're starting to see the results of the adoption of the Common Core State Standards, and that link and our relationship with the Nevada Department of Education, and we have a new state superintendent of instruction, and those relationships will be critical. I think they have to be visionary, but when I look at the system office in terms of what is one of the most important roles that we have in terms of working with the institutions, it's the development of our budget and guiding that budget through the legislative process. The individual that comes to this role will have to have a knowledge, not necessarily of the Nevada legislature, but they're going to have to understand how to guide a budget through that process, what conversations are appropriate to have publicly, what conversations are appropriate to have in private, but understanding that there are specific protocols in dealing with an agency like the LCB or dealing with an agency like NDE or the governor's office, someone who has experience and a political understanding of how to guide the most important decision that we make at this level with the Board of Regents is the development of that budget and making sure that that budget is adopted intact. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Bob Moore, and I'm Faculty Senate Chair at Western Nevada College. And I've got four main points that I'd like to address, but I'd like to start with this fact that I think that the draft is extremely well written, and I'm quite satisfied with the document. And what I'm going to say will be comments that I'd like to have thoughts woven through the entire process, because I think they're important for the current Nevada and the future Nevada. The first would be, and I won't reiterate it in as much detail as Vice Chancellor Abba, but understanding the legislative process and the political actors is critically important. As I see it, we have three splits in this state. We have a north-south split. We have an urban-rural split. We have Republican-Democrat split. And urban and rural in Washoe County many times does not understand or get along very well with rural. So it's multifaceted, really, and that needs to be understood and dealt with down in the legislature. And that's the first point. The second would be that, and Chancellor Riley has fit this role beautifully, have a chancellor that understands and has been in the faculty position and understands what it's like to be a faculty member and the dynamics that are associated with that and has a firm understanding and will be an advocate for faculty. In my view, Chancellor Riley has fit that bill beautifully. We also, tying you with the political arena, the next point would be institutions are differentiated in this state. We have two-year schools, we have four-year schools, we have urban, we have rural. And looking at, we're a unified system, yes, but if you look at the institutions, there's a tremendous amount of diversity with those institutions, and one needs to have, I think, a pretty firm grasp of the missions and the unique challenges at each particular institution in our system. And this was brought up a couple of times, my last point, which would be the demographics. Page 2 of 9 on the description addresses this under demographics. Nevada has been and will continue to change greatly in terms of demographics. We're a highly diverse society now. We're going to probably be more diverse in the future. And I think it's critical that we have a chancellor that has a firm understanding and grasp of what it is to be an MSI, a minority serving institution, and also an HSI, Hispanic serving institution. And beyond that, that's not the fact that maybe that would bring in grant money, but how you can integrate the concepts and the spirit of those particular designations throughout an entire institution. Thank you.
Amanda Keene-Zebert, I am the Faculty Senate Chair for Desert Research Institute. I will just re-emphasize points that have already been made, in particular the point about balancing the needs of the system and the needs of individual institutions, I think is very important. And then as Robert Marin just re-emphasized, a sensitivity to the demographic dynamics of the state of Nevada will be very important for this role. And I would also like to see more language about diversity added to the list of things on page 7 underneath the bullet points about championing for various needs. And then finally, as other faculty senate chairs have said, the collaboration, communication, and engagement with faculty senates has been really valued and is a really important aspect of this role that I'd like to see re-emphasized in this document. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Benjamin Miller, President of the Associate Students of Western Nevada at WNC. I'd just like to touch up a little bit on what Dr. Solis and Janice McKay stated earlier. I think communication is very important. I imagine sort of a spider web of communication going around NC, from executive admin to instruction to students to club advisors to presidents and everything in between. I'd like to thank a lot of our instructors, some of mine personally. They like to hold a lot of on-campus events, from weather balloons to art exhibitions to psychology club events. And that sometimes just doesn't get communicated as much as I would like to. I'd like to think that many of our instructors throughout all seven institutions have a lot in common and would like to coordinate better with each other, but just don't have the means to do so. So I'd like a chancellor who knows the benefits of communication between all the different institutions as well as the campuses internally themselves. Thank you.
I guess I'm the last man up. I somehow missed the line here. I'm Tom Gallagher. I've worn a lot of hats in the state since we moved here about 22 years ago, including running what was then the largest gaming company. I've been a political candidate. I'm on the foundation boards of both UNLV and DRI. My thought is a very different one, and I may be off script here a little bit, but Crystal brought up a point that is the central one to me, and that is we're going through a period of immense change, I think, in the system. It's very clear that there's a lot of dissatisfaction about a number of things that have gone on, good or bad. And from my standpoint, as you listen to all of this advisory committee, if we really think that there is somebody that can fill all of the desires and roles that have been just described, I think we're crazy. And it goes to the question of how are we going to manage what is ultimately going to have to be some kind of restructuring and new vision for how the system runs, how it can be decentralized, how some of the needs and desires can be delegated down through the system, whether that means to the university presidents or whatever. I think there's a fundamental challenge that we're going to have to address. And it's going to take a chancellor who can lead that and who can command the respect of everybody that's a player. And that's a very, very difficult role to fill. It has to be somebody that the regents will listen to and respect. It has to be somebody that can work through the political process. It has to be somebody that understands the desires of faculty and students. All of those roles are, when you try to combine them, it's pretty hard to see how you're going to come up with somebody who can do all of that and manage a process of change that's clearly at work within this state as to what's going on in higher education. So my own thought is that one of the factors you ought to put in this description is that, and it really goes to what, you know, what do the regents want from this position? Because ultimately it's their decision. But it seems to me that if I were a regent, I would want somebody who could in fact really help guide the system and the state through this process of change, because it's inevitable and it's already been demonstrated in what's happened in the legislature, and I don't know anybody that thinks that's a particularly good solution. But we're going to have to come up with something that works better than what's working right now. So to me, I would take a hard look at whether we need to add something in there that describes the talents that are going to be necessary to manage this change process.
We will now come to the regents. Regent McMichael.
In going over the proposals here for the search for the new chancellor, I've been looking at the cost, and I was wondering, is this in line with prior searches? And if not, are we taking into account cost of living increases but the cost of media?
Regent McMichael, I can tell you that the upfront cost or the stated cost for the search is in line. Mm-hmm. When we looked at those proposals, Chancellor Riley, Chief General Counsel Reynolds, and myself, that's obviously important that we feel that we're the steward of the state's money and we're not going to just use it without some controls. Mm-hmm. But in terms of how the dollars are going to be offered out, I think it's premature. I think we have to wait and see who comes in. I would have no reason to believe it won't be different. It would be any different than what we've already been doing. I mean, we have to somehow compete in the marketplace. And in that vein, we rely very heavily on the search consultants because they have the best pulse of what the salaries and the perks are throughout the state and the nation. And we have to be competitive or we won't get the best.
All right. And the only thing I was really emphasizing is that we do not undercut the costs on this search.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Page. I would echo what Ms. Silver said about extensive travel. I do think it's important that the chancellor is visible. That's something that I feel is very important, visible to all community partners, but also involved with each institution, students, faculty. So extensive travel is a big part of that. I also agree with the shared governance idea. I think that if it's somebody who is in this industry, they'll understand what shared governance is. If it's somebody who comes from the political or private business world, they may not understand how intentional and focused higher education is on shared governance. So I think shared governance is something that needs to be spoken to very loudly in this document. And I don't think I have anything else that everyone hasn't already said. So thank you.
Thank you. We just a call.
Thank you, Chair Page. And I want to echo what many have said. This was really well written, 9 pages worth, because I kind of expected a phone call was, were we going to be asked? Or I've been in my head just trying to think of all the things. And Tom, wow, it's a big, huge job. It's a very complex job. And the person really has to understand that. And I think the point about academia is really well noted, the fact that you've come through the rank, or not quite the ranks, but you understand that faculty piece, I think is really huge. It's such a dynamic, changing organization to go from workforce development and certificates all the way up to R1 research institutions. We are a land grant and cooperative extensions that got a piece of it too. I mean, it's a huge job. I mean, it's just huge. I echo my colleagues. I totally believe in shared governments. And I think today's a prime example of shared governance, you know, listening to all the stakeholders. It's so important. I saw in the profile, I did have a question on, let's see me find it. In one spot you said, on page 7 at the very bottom, the next chancellor should have or quickly develop key knowledge of higher education management and national higher education trends. So that statement told me you didn't have to have a higher ed background. But then you go down on page 8, and it says, in addition to these expectations, the new chancellor must demonstrate. So to me, that's a conflict. Because the first thing you say, or let's see, number 3 bullet, experience in a multi-institution or multi-campus setting of higher education or similar institutions. So I think you're contradicting yourself there. So we need to decide which way we're going. But let's see, what else did I have? And we've already discussed it because I had it highlighted to the AAU required and the other preferred. That was, but our legal counsel answered that. That's in statute, I guess. So let's see, what else did I have? And the only other thing I think I'm not so sure is appropriate is to have a prior chancellor's name quoted in there. I think it would be better if we could maybe say that without quoting anybody in public, in a public document such as this. That's just my personal opinion, and I just think it would be better. This is on page 4 under community colleges. The report of a special task force convened by concluded that, and there was a quote in there. I mean, you could say that without the quote, without the name, and still make the point. That's all I have. Thank you.
Regent Carter?
So I have a few thoughts here. I appreciate the comments about, you know, the idea of maybe that being a split position, because there really are two huge areas. One's just running the system office and the, you know, computing services and all the staff that's there and keeping HR and all that kind of stuff working and operating just at the system level. And then the other thing is system-wide initiatives and running the system, making sure the presidents are getting support, carrying out the directives of the board, trying to run system-wide initiatives. And those two things are immense on their own, let alone as one position. So I think that's interesting comments from a few people. The change leadership, I think, is incredibly important. One of the things I've always stressed and tried to get as one of our goals is to be entrepreneurial. We have, you know, funding issues just like every other state. We have to look at new ways of doing things, new ways of funding buildings, new ways of of operating. So somebody that's entrepreneurial that can also lead that change, not just come up with the ideas, but formulate it and build coalitions to carry those ideas, you know, forward. On the bottom of page 6, there's just something about the wording I don't really care for. It says hiring and if necessary terminating campus president subject to board approval. Well, I'd rather think the board hires and fires presidents. I think the chair or the chancellor may be carrying that out, but there's just something about that wording that just doesn't sound fantastic. So if we could maybe work on that a little bit to clarify, you know, maybe that'd even take a little stress off if they didn't have to worry about hiring and firing with subject to approval. It's really the board that's hiring and firing presidents, or at least it should be. I think that's it for me.
Chair DePaba.
Thank you, Chair Page. Again, I echo comments that it's very well written, and we appreciate the work that's gone into this. Also, on page 2 under governance, I appreciate how that was brought up right away for transparency about AJR5, and there's some unknown there. You know, Mr. Gallagher did make a few interesting points, and I wonder if it's worth a little careful expansion about that, about unknown, or the new chancellor would have some vision, and there is potential reorganization on the horizon. Going to page 7, the 6th bullet point down, listening to all the comments, and having been on the board for 9 years, seeing how the chancellor has participated in advocating for higher education with the agencies that have been listed, but also including the county commissions, our respective county commissions and city councils, especially with working with K-12 and social services, how our institutions have an impact with social services. So I think that might be important to list the municipalities. And then lastly, page 8, and maybe I can get clarification from Chair Page or Chancellor Riley. The chancellor uniquely serving as a member of the governor's cabinet. Now, is that in stone, or was that the previous administration that said, hey, this is kind of a voluntary expansion of our cabinet? So I just wanted to make sure that an applicant didn't assume I'm at the governor's cabinet level here. So just maybe some clarification on that. Thank you.
Yeah, Jay, that is a true statement. It's not mandatory. So the governor makes that decision.
It makes sense, because you're right. You don't want to overpromise. Yeah. Especially if that is really at the discretion of the governor. Probably not best to get ahead of a governor.
Is it still the case, though, that under the current governor? How long has that been true?
We've had it with the last governor.
And then it'll be up to this governor if he wants to continue on in that vein.
It's not clear.
If I may, Chair Page, I think it might be fair to, if you were to massage that statement, the chancellor in our state has a prominent role and certainly has access to the governor, I think, so you could word it some way.
To this point, it jumped out for me in doing the work here. I went to the governor's website, and because it's unusual. And I think it's a very positive dimension to be at that table. It still reflects it in the language on the webpage, but I recognize that this may be, you know, caught up and bound up in transition. So don't know whether there's been clarification or not, or if the solution is more along what Dr. DeBrava is suggesting in terms of just broader language of the importance of the role as a statewide leader. Is that your counsel? Good. Thank you.
Okay. Regia Lieberman.
Okay.
Regia Chachok.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to thank everybody on the advisory committee for taking the time to be here today and to share with us your views on this. It's very helpful for me and for other members of the board to get your perspective. I think we all have to be realistic that the person the group would like doesn't exist. And we have to focus on, at least I personally will focus on, certain traits that I think are critical to make whoever fills this role successful. Number one, it's absolutely clear that they have to be able to run a very complex organization and have the administrative skills and the ability to delegate and to choose the right people around them to perform a very difficult task. Number two, they have to have a very good understanding of the state of Nevada, and they have to have the skill set and the ability to function within the different power centers that exist in the state of Nevada. That probably is more important almost than the first, if not as co-important. They have to have the ability to fashion a budget with eight, in some instances, competing institutions for limited state funds. And most importantly, they have to be able to command the respect of leadership of the institutions and the constituencies in the institutions, the different constituencies within the state that are and have expressed interest in higher education. And the, of course, they have to be able to command the respect of the whoever is sitting on the Board of Regents. Thank you.
Regent Liebman, we'll go back to you again. I just, one second. Okay, I just want just to final finish up with a couple and then we'll take a motion. I think Mr. Gallagher, we should have had him go first because I think he summarized it very, very well. This person doesn't exist, what we're trying to have them do. So I think, again, with the changes in Nevada, changes in higher ed, AJR5 and things that might go around that, I think we need to emphasize that. We also have to realize, and I think Crystal said it about someone that knows Nevada. I think it's very, very important, Nevada politics, the Nevada legislature, and also the outside forces that want to kind of have their fingers in higher ed. And so I think that's another important part of, you know, where we're at and how we move forward here. And the other part about a recession, we're 11 years into an economic expansion. It's not if we're going to have a recession, it's when we're going to have a recession. And so you would think some point of the new chancellor, they're going to be dealing with a recession and how do we get the resources and how do they make the changes that we need to adapt to that. With that, I will go to Regent Chaytok for a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move to direct the committee chair in consultation with Chancellor Riley and the search consultants to finalize a leadership profile based on the comments from the search committee and the advisory members.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Regent DiCarlo. Any discussion? We could do a roll call vote.
Oh. Regent Carter.
Aye.
Regent Carvalho.
Aye.
Regent DiCarlo.
Aye.
Regent McMichael.
Aye.
Chair Page.
Yes.
Regent Trachuk.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. We'll go to agenda item number 6, advertising options. Jay?
You have before you a pretty straightforward, simple exhibit. In some ways, I guess I would tell you that we would recommend that you do online advertising and a premium package with Chronicle of Higher Education. We would suggest that it's probably well to include all of the publications in Tier 2 as well as a part of that. I think the matter that you may want to have some discussion about is whether or not a print ad is required or not. We see a broad range of practices, and it is really, truly a local state decision.
Mr. Chair, I have a question on that. What is your experience on the effectiveness of print ads in this day and age?
There remain a rather mature group of people who wait each week for the delivery of the Chronicle of Higher Education. Some of those are perhaps in our target group, but I I think that if they're not reading their electronic delivered Chronicle of Higher Education, they may not have the skill set that has been described here this morning.
I would suggest that they do not.
Any more? We did the call?
Thank you, Chair Page. I echo what Regent Trachuk said. I mean, we're in the digital age. I mean, we're doing distance learning. Our students are carrying tablets and laptops. And if you're waiting for your copy of higher ed to come, you're not our guy or gal.
There are places who do regard this as a form of advertising. It's a fairly expensive form of advertising. And so it is a way of getting the state's announcement out there about the fact that a search is underway. But again, I that's why we listed it as your option.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve the advertising budget with the omission of the print advertising.
We have a motion. Any discussion? We have Regent Carter. Okay.
So just one thought, and I'm not sure what the board would like to do, but do we want to run one ad in a non-traditional non-higher education publication to try to get senior executives also that information?
I think the other question that I have, and forgive me for not mentioning it, is whether there are state wide sources where there may be value interest. That is something that cuts both ways, very candidly. So you may get more attention than you may want from people who may or may not have even half of the skills that we've outlined. So would
this in Nevada will have the attention, believe me. In regards to that, is there a business publication that you've used that you've been successful with?
I come up short with thinking about a singular publication that would reach really broadly. And I would guess that that also might be very expensive.
Bill?
Yes, Chair Page, I also say there's not a single publication that we have experience, an effective experience with in particular, but I want to assure you that these are just the sort of passive advertising sources. We will reach out affirmatively to people in, you know, business, nonprofit, military experience, you know, so we will try and hit all of those areas, targeting people who we think have some of the other criteria you're looking for. But particularly, you know, healthcare is an area where there's multi-institutional change, serving the needs of different types of communities, that sort of thing. So we will, we don't want you to think this is all that we're looking for. Most of our work and, you know, the vast majority of the candidates who turn out to be of most interest are ones that we reach out to through other means.
So the more important question is, then you have unlimited minutes on your cell phones. You can.
We do indeed. We do indeed. And, yes, you know, while we're there, I would tell you that very often for us, it is the network of the people around this table and around the state who are really vital. And we want and welcome your thoughts, your suggestions about possible persons that we might explore this with. Most of the time, folks are not interested. But very often, one conversation will lead to another. And so we would welcome hearing from folks.
Chief of Staff Gould?
I think that's an excellent point, and we should really make it now before there's a vote on the motion. And that is, if, you know, this process is confidential. Obviously, we don't use names today because of the open meeting law. However, if you have individuals, any of you, that you think fit the bill, you can send them either to me confidentially and I forward them on, or you can send them directly to the search consultants. And we will, I think Chair Page will be giving you that email address momentarily, but we'll also put it on the NSHE Chancellor search page so you can reach these gentlemen directly. And it is confidential, so no one will know where it came from and nobody will know, you know, who is being nominated That process is, you know, obviously confidential. So that's a great point.
And with that said, just let me give you Jay's email, j.lemons. J-A-Y dot lemons, L-E-M-O-N-S, at academicsearch.org. So j.lemons at academicsearch.org. You can send it directly to Jay, as Dean said, or you could send it to Dean and he'll forward it. And the same thing, if there's any follow-up comments about the job description, you know, send that over as well as we go through that. Okay, so with that, we had a motion from Regent Chychok, second by Regent Carter. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, we go to agenda item number 7, new business. Any new business? Seeing none, we'll go to agenda number 8, public comment in Elko.
No public comment in Elko.
Reno?
No public comment in Reno.
Okay, Las Vegas?
I have a comment I want to say.
Okay, Dr. Bell?
Dr. Bell, the College of Southern Nevada Faculty Senate Chair. One of the things I want to request is for the chancellors, for the regents as well, will be trying to make the transition in identifying this new individual. If possible, a succession plan can be created for he or she to be able to better comprehend this very vast and diverse responsibility. So again, I'd like to respectfully request that if possible, the regents as well as the chancellor as he depart can create some type of succession plan for the new incumbent to consider for his or her responsibilities for the near future. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other public comment. Oh, Jed.
Thank you for indulging me, but I think I would be remiss if I did not note for this body that yesterday in Seattle at the annual meeting of the Northwest Commission of Colleges and Universities, the first ever Beacon Awards, two awards were given to two institutions, one in smaller institutions, one in larger institutions. The University of Nevada, Reno was recognized for its Nevada Fit program. It was an extraordinary presentation. I will tell you, President Johnson did not make the presentation. One of his team members did. An extraordinary commitment to onboarding students to the point that you're making, in a way, focusing on student success, and the way that Nevada, Reno has done that is exactly critical to how a new chancellor is brought on. And so that onboarding process and transition, Regent Page, we'll be happy to try and work with you and others in terms of making that happen. But congratulations to you, Mark, and to your team. I think all of you would have been extraordinarily proud of what we heard and witnessed in terms of extraordinary results in the improvement of retention, which will translate over time for a relatively new program to improvement in graduation rate. So congratulations.
Congratulations, President Johnson. And before we adjourn the meeting, I just want to thank everyone for being here today, the Board of Regents, staff, and the community members. Your input is crucial to having a successful search. So we look forward to all your input as we move forward and all the hard work of the committee and the team going forward. And this meeting is adjourned.